சகனாவவது சகனௌ புனக்து சகவீரியங்கரவாவகை தேஜஸ்வினாவதீதமஸ்து மா வித்விஷாவகை. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹ. வாசுதேவேந்திர யோகீந்திரம் நத்வா ஞானப்ரதம் குரும் முமுக்ஷூணாம் ஹிதார்த்தாய தத்வபோதோபிதீயதே. Until now, we have seen Jeeva Swarupam separately and also Ishara Swarupam separately. What is Ishara Swarupam? Today, before we enter into the discussion in the form of the answer to the student's doubt, we saw last class, the student presented his doubt. Why? Because Ishwaraha is omniscient, all-knowing. Ishwara is almighty, all-powerful. Whereas Jiva, the individual, is limited in his power, limited in his knowledge. And we saw these two words, Jivaha Alpajnaha, Jivaha Alpashaktiman. Whereas, we in the textbook we found this expression, Kinchittignaha. Jivaha Kinchittignaha. Kinchittignaha means he knows very little. Whereas Ishwaraha Sarvajnaha, he knows everything. And Jivaha, I use the term he, Jiva or Ishwara, we use the term he because they are masculine gender words. Don't think Ishwara is a male person. Ishwara, the Lord, is not a male person. Jiva is not a male person. Jivaha, Ishwaraha are two words, masculine gender words. Therefore, I use the pronoun he. Okay? Be careful here. All the time we hear the expression he, only think of Jiva means a male person and Ishwara is a male person. No. We are talking about the total universe. The universe in its entirety is looked upon as a macrocosmic being who is otherwise known by the expression Ishwaraha. And every individual, the fraction of the total, every individual being, a fraction of the total is looked upon as the Jivaha. The Jivaha here is a living being, especially a human being. So an individual being who forms part of the total, the whole, the microcosmic being who forms part of the total, the macrocosmic being, is essentially one and the same. There is difference between microcosmic being and the macrocosmic being. That is what is already known, obvious. How, what is the difference? This Jivaha is kinchittignaha, whereas Ishwaraha is sarvajnaha. Jivaha alpashaktiman, Ishwaraha sarvashaktiman. This basic, these two expressions are enough. So there's a vast difference, huge difference. There is difference between the microcosmic being and the macrocosmic being. And the microcosm is dependent on the macrocosm. Therefore, definitely they cannot be one and the same. But how then this Jivaha is equated to Ishwaraha, the total. That's what we need to understand. To know the difference, Shastra need not be studied. And if we can know the non-difference ourselves, then we need not study Shastram. The very purpose of studying the Shastram is what we cannot understand by ourselves. Actually, the non-difference, the inseparability, non-separateness between Jiva and Ishvara is a fact, which is the reality. And to understand that fact alone, we need to study the scripture. So here that we saw last class, the student was asking the question, how is Jivaha is equated to Ishvara? How can we say Jiva and Ishvara are non-different? How is Jiva non-different from Ishvara? Because the difference is very clear. We see the difference. So the answer I said, yes, definitely there is difference. If there is no difference at all, then we need not study the scripture. Then we need not know. There's no difference at all. We need not say that Jiva is Ishvara. It's only difference also, we cannot say Jiva is Ishvara. There must be difference, there must be non-difference. Both must be there, only then we can equate Jiva to Ishvara. This is made very clear in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita also. Not in the verse, but in commentary. So Jiva and Ishvara are definitely different from one standpoint. There's another standpoint from which Jiva and Ishvara are non-different. So from the standpoint of Nama Rupa Karma, the standpoint of form, name and function, there is difference between the Jiva and Ishvara. But these form, name and function are actually, functions are mithya. The form, name and function associated with the individual Jiva are mithya. Similarly, the form, name and function associated with the Ishvara are also mithya. So from the standpoint of mithya, nama, rupa, karma alone, there is difference. And mithya means, mithya is as good as non-existent. Mithya is not absolutely real. Mithya is only empirically real. But there is something which is absolutely real, which is otherwise called satyam. The truth of Ishvara's, the Nama Rupa Karma associated with the Ishvara, the truth of name, form and function associated with the Jiva, the truth without which name, form, name and function associated with the Jiva cannot exist, the truth without which the form, name and function associated with the Ishvara also cannot exist, and that truth is one and the same. Now, what is the truth? What is the reality? Which alone is absolutely real? The form, name and function are empirically real, relatively real, objectively real, but absolutely they are not real. Therefore, what is that absolutely real? That only satyam. And the satyam, the truth without which form, name and function associated with the Ishvara and the Jiva cannot exist at all. That satyam is one and the same. The standpoint of the satyam, which is implied by the term Atma, Jiva and Ishvara are one and the same. The standpoint of satyam alone, Jiva is equated to Ishvara. Essentially non-different. Absolutely Jiva and Ishvara are non-different. But empirically object relatively, Ishvara and Jiva are different. There is difference. We cannot say there is no difference at all, nor can we say there is only difference. There is difference from the standpoint of form, namarupa, karma, and there is non-difference from the standpoint of the truth of Jiva and Ishvara. And for which, to understanding the non-difference implies understanding the truth of Jiva and Ishvara being one and the same. If you understand what is Jiva's, the truth of the individual, what is the essential nature of individual, then essential nature of Ishvara is understood as it were. And once you understand the Jiva, Ishvara's essential nature one and the same, then we understood the non-difference. When you understand the non-difference, the mithya form, names and function associated with the Jiva and Ishvara can be resolved in that very same truth. Thereby we can say there is no Jiva really. There is no Ishvara really. What is the truth? And Jiva and Ishvara are two different names attributed to one and the same truth, which is Atma. There's no Jiva Atma, there's no Parama Atma, there's only Atma. This is what we have to understand. I'm only just giving you that how to understand, that's all. We have to really see that very clearly. And before that, we need to understand what is Ishvara Swarupam. We have finished reading the portion earlier. We saw from Ishvara alone, these all elements originated. And how from the elements, the elementals came into being. We found, we understood all the elementals means, even this from the sattvic aspect of the subtle powers, our sense organs originated, antahkaranam has come into existence, basic power alone, our organs of actions and the pranas have originated, come into existence. And the tamasic aspect of all elements, when they got grossified, the gross elements originated. And from the gross elements, our physical bodies have originated. Like that, the entire physical universe, nothing but again, the products of grossified elements, the gross elements. Therefore, the entire objective universe is nothing but matter in terms of five elements. Therefore, elementals. The whole universe is elemental model. So, this has come from Atma. We understood. Now, here, this is called Karnakarya Prakriya or Srishti Prakriya. The method of analyzing the creation. And I said, whenever in any textbook, Vedantic textbook, the srishtihi, the creation is discussed. What is implied is the discussion of creation, discussion on creation, of or on creation is not for establishing the creation. The purpose of analyzing the creation is only to arrive at the truth of the whole creation, whole universe. I'm repeating this statement. The discussing, analyzing the universe, analyzing the creation is always for arriving at the truth of the creation. Arriving at the truth means arriving at Brahman or Atma. What is the truth of the universe? What is the essential nature of all the beings? What is the truth without which the universe cannot exist at all? No form, no name, no function can exist independently without the truth. And what is the truth? And here what we are experiencing here, what we are perceiving here is the grossest universe. We have experiences and we have objects of experience. When we see this universe, we have experience. we experience the universe. We perceive the universe. We perceive the universe means there's perception of the universe, experience of the universe, which means the universe is object of experience, object of perception, which means the perception itself, perception experience we have in our lives proves existence of experiencer and the objects of experience. The experience we cannot deny. We cannot deny our experience. We cannot deny our perception because there is perception of the universe. There is experience of the universe. Therefore, the experience is there in our waking state, and experience definitely implies two important factors, perceiver and the perceived, the knower and the known. Perceiver and the perceived, experiencer and the experienced. The world is object of experience, the experienced world and the experiencer of the world. It is also experience. So experience involves three factors, experiencer, experience and experienced, knower, knowledge and the known. These three, the difference. Known is different from the knowledge. Knowledge is different from the knower. Experienced is different from the experience. Experience is different from the experiencer. Experiencer is distinct from the experience and the experienced. And this difference is called Triputi Bhedaha. Triputi Bhedaha. Difference. Knower, known, knowledge, difference is called Triputi Bhedaha, threefold difference. And this difference is only from the standpoint of the world of experience. From the standpoint of the truth of the universe. The truth, the reality, which we do not know, which we have yet to know. The standpoint of the truth, this experiencer, experience, experienced, knower, known, knowledge, Triputi Bhedaha, this difference is not there. The standpoint of the experienced universe, this difference is. The standpoint of the truth, this difference is not there. Which means, without the truth, there cannot be experiencer. Without the truth, there cannot be experience. Without the truth, there cannot be experienced also. The truth without whom, without which, without the presence of which experiencer cannot be, is the truth swarupam of the experiencer. The truth or the reality without which experience is not possible, that is the truth the swarupam of the experience. The truth or reality without which the experienced cannot exist at all is also what? Is the same swarupam or the truth of the experienced. The truth of all the three, the swarupam of all the three is one and the same, which is the truth of the whole. Therefore, here, from the truth which implied by the term Atma, everything has come into existence. Even though creation is not elaborately discussed, just an idea is given, a clue is given, the whole cosmos, including time and space, all elements and the elementals, subtle and gross, mobile and immobile, animate and inanimate, living and non-living, chara charam jagat. The entire universe has originated from Atma, has come into existence from the Atma. This is the teaching, which means here the universe has come into existence means the universe is an effect, the product, jagat karyam. And the truth from which the universe has originated is as good as the cause. From the standpoint of the universe, which is said to have come into existence is looked upon as an effect. Therefore, from the standpoint of the universe, we see also the truth is given the status of being the cause of the universe. Therefore, the truth here is the material cause of the universe. Not only the material cause, the intelligent cause of the universe also is the truth. When we look at the truth, the reality implied by the term Atma as material cause and the intelligent cause, then the truth is given the status, qualification as Ishwaraha. Why? Ishwaraha means the ruler. There's no somebody sitting and ruling the world here. That the truth, which alone is in the form of the universe. In every creation, we do see the intelligent cause and the material cause being manifest in the form of the very product inseparably. The two causes are inseparable. Material cause and intelligent cause are inseparable. They inseparably manifest in the very effect. Like this, the whole universe, the truth is manifest as the material and the intelligent causes of the universe. When you see the universe, there is intelligent cause, there is material cause. And that which is in the form of these two causes is nothing but the truth. Therefore, the truth is given the status of being the Lord of the universe. So, the cause alone is given, the truth is looked upon as the cause, not one cause, both the causes of the universe. Therefore, the truth is given the Ishwara status. Now, we have to see the whole universe is an effect, means if cause and effect are always inseparable, effect cannot exist independently without the cause. Existence of the effect is existence of the cause. And there's no distance between cause and effect. You have to understand these subtle three facts. Existence of the cause is the existence of the effect. Point one. Cause and effect are physically inseparable. There is no distance between cause and the effect. And the cause is satyam, effect is mithya. Let me tell you again. We'll see the example. If we take a golden ornament like a bangle, you can see the bangle is a name. Bangle is a name of a given form which serves a given purpose. It should be worn as an ornament in the hand. And the form, name, and a function or purpose is called Nama, Rupam, and Karma. And this form, name, and function cannot exist independently without the material cause called gold, inseparable from the gold. So between gold and ornament, there's no distance. And a bangle cannot be separated from its cause, gold. So therefore, the form, name, and function called a bangle is mithya. The gold, the cause is satyam. With reference to bangle, gold is satyam. The bangle name, form, and function is mithya. And here, without the gold, the bangle cannot exist. Existence of gold is the existence of the bangle. And bangle is inseparable, non-separate from the gold. There's a distance between bangle and the gold. And gold is satyam, bangle. The name, form, name and function alone is mithya. Without being an ornament, without being a bangle, gold can exist as gold. Whereas without gold, bangle cannot exist. So bangle is dependent. Form, name and function are dependent on gold for its existence. Gold is not dependent on form, name and function for its existence. Always effect is dependent on cause. Cause is independent of the effect. And here similarly, this example. The whole universe is the effect, is as good as the effect. Atma is as good as the cause of the universe is Atma. Therefore, the universe is non-separate from the cause. There's no distance between cause and effect. And existence of Atma is existence of the universe. And therefore, Atma can be without the universe. But the universe cannot exist independent of the Atma. Therefore, we say the universe is Mithya. Form, name and function. The innumerable countless forms, names and functions which constitute the universe. The universe is Mithya and Atma is Satyam. I have to understand next last point. The cause lends existence to the effect. Gold lends existence to the ornament. Similarly, Atma lends existence to the universe. When I say Atma lends existence to the universe, lending here is not a physical action, very nature. Atma is Atma without doing any action. Just gold is, presence of gold lends existence to the form, name and function called gold, the ornament, bangle. The cause need not do any action to lend existence. By its mere presence lends existence. By its mere presence without any will or action lending existence is the nature. Therefore, existence. Lending existence is the nature. Now, if you see in what form does the cause obtain in an effect? Please listen to me carefully. In what form does the cause obtain in an effect? Very, it's not grammatically, don't search for the corrections. Understand, this is how you have to understand Vedantic statements. The cause obtains, the cause exists in an effect, we say. The cause obtains. In what form does the cause obtain in an effect? The cause obtains in the form of the existence of an effect. Water obtains in the form of existence of an ocean. Gold obtains in the form of existence of an ornament. Wood obtains in the form of existence of the furniture. Why do I say it obtains in the form of existence? Cause obtains in the form of existence of an effect. When I say, if I remove the cause, the form, name and function will disappear, will collapse, it will lose its existence. If I remove the gold, the form will disappear. The name, bangle will disappear, will go along with the form. The purpose it serves also will be impossible, will be not possible. Therefore, it lends existence means the cause obtains in the form of existence of an effect. Therefore, we say existence is the nature. Okay? Existence is the swarupam of the cause. Now, we have to understand. Atma, the absolute reality, the ultimate truth, implied by the term Atma, obtains in the form of the existence of the universe. Now, if I say water obtains in the form of existence of the universe and the ocean, if I cognitively remove the form, name and function called ocean, what is this water? Similarly here, existence alone is. The existence of the universe is Atma. So existence is the very nature of the reality. Therefore, if you ask in what form does Atma obtain here, Atma obtains in the form of existence of the universe. Bangle, ocean, furniture, pot, etc., grass examples, grossest examples. But now I've said the existence of the universe. You remove the name, form, name and function called universe cognitively. What is this existence? So existence is the nature of the reality. Okay, therefore, the another word used is sat. Sat. Sat means existence. And what is sat? Existence. Existence is what? The nature of reality. Sat is satyam. The truth. Reality. And here, reality is that which has no beginning, no end, no change. And here, existence has no beginning, existence has no end, existence doesn't undergo any change. Sat. So, if we see what is the essential, in what form does Atma obtain? Atma obtains in the form of existence of the universe. If I remove the form, name and function called universe cognitively, what remains is pure existence. Now, existence is the essential nature of Ishwaraha. Existence is the nature of Ishvara, nature of truth, reality, Atma. So you say the whole universe is appearance of the truth, means the whole universe is appearance of Ishvara. Because the whole universe is, means universe, when you say bangle is, means gold is. Universe is means truth is, Ishvara is, Atma is. Water is, therefore ocean is. Atma is, therefore the universe is. The isness enjoyed by the universe is what? Isness of Atma. Therefore, existence of the universe, in what form does Ishvara obtain? In what form does Atma obtain? In what form does the truth obtain? Means the truth obtains in the form of existence of the whole. So existence is the essential nature of the reality of the whole. So in reality, the abstract, subtlest reality, the truth of the universe, has to be understood in terms of its nature of existence of the universe. We do, when you experience an object, in any given form or a table is, chair is, window is, house is, man is, donkey is, dog is, space is, time is, air is, water is. If everything is when you say that is stands for existence. So in all of them, table is, chair is, window is, the forms are different, names are different, functions are different, but what is common in all of them is existence. Isn't it true? What is common? What is uncommon? I say window is, let us take a few examples. Window is, door is, light is, wall is, house is, man is, woman is, vehicle is. In all of them, forms are different, names are different, the functions associated with each form, name and also are different, functions are different, but what is common in all of them is, that E stands for existence. Is it clear? So existence, when you say woman is, I experience a woman, means you're experiencing existence along with the woman. When you're experiencing wave, you're experiencing water. When you're experiencing furniture, you're experiencing the wood along with the form, name and function called chair. When you're experiencing an ornament, chain or bangle, along with the form, name and function called chain, you're experiencing gold. Similarly, when you're experiencing any form, name and function, you're experiencing existence. The existence is experienced along with the form, name and function. The existence experienced along with the form, name and function is manifestation of existence. You can never experience existence minus form, name and function. We can never experience existence minus form, name and function. We always experience existence with form, name and function. Existence experienced with the form, name and function. Yes, in the form of existence of the table, existence of the chair, existence of man, existence of woman. That existence experienced along with form, name and function is manifest existence. Existence minus form, name and function is pure existence. The pure existence cannot be experienced. Manifest existence is experienced, available for experience. With given form, name and function. So pure existence is not an object, cannot be experienced. And a pure existence is swarupam of the truth of every form, name and function. The reality, the truth of the every form, name and function is existence. Pure existence. Can you say, we do not experience existence? Of course, we do experience existence as existence of a given form, denoted by a given word, serving a given purpose. Existence is always experienced along with the given form, name and function. Existence minus form, name and function is pure existence, cannot be experienced, because pure existence, what is pure existence? Nature of the Atma, nature of the reality. It is not an object. So we have to understand here, Atma is in the form of the existence of the whole cosmos. When you say ocean is, there is water is. Similarly, the universe is means Atma is. Atma is, therefore universe is. Okay, therefore we understand Atma is the existence of the universe. And what is that Atma? We understand what is that which lends existence to the form, name and function called ocean, water. What is that which lends existence to the form, name and function called furniture, wood, you know that. What is that which lends existence to the ornament, gold, you know. But what is that Atma which lends existence to the universe? Atma is in the form of, Atma is of the nature of pure existence. Atma is in the form of the existence of the universe. What is that Atma? What is that reality? Please listen to me carefully. What is that absolute reality, the ultimate truth, which obtains in the form of existence of the whole cosmos, which alone lends existence to the whole cosmos, which is of the nature of existence? What is the truth? Now we understand Atma is existence in the form of existence of the universe. So existence of the universe is Atma. Existence is the nature of the Atma. Existence is the nature of the reality. The truth of the whole objective universe is in the form of existence. And what is that which is in the form of existence of the universe? What is the existence of the universe? That in which ocean enjoys existence is water. That in which the ornament enjoys its existence is bangle, the gold. That in which the furniture enjoys existence is wood. That in which the universe enjoys existence is the Atma. Therefore, existence is the essence, nature of the Atma. Existence, the meaning of the word existence is Atma. What is that? Now, Shastram says that when we say the truth of the universe is existence of the universe. So, if the truth of the universe is identical the truth of the individual. And we understood earlier, when we analyze the individual, we arrive at the essential nature of individual being, pure consciousness, pure knowledge. And now we analyze the universe, we arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of existence only. And the Shastram says, you are Ishvara means individual is equated to the Lord means existence is equated to consciousness. Existence of the universe is pure consciousness. Existence of the ocean is water. Existence of the wave is water. Therefore, essentially one and the same. The existence of the universe is pure consciousness. And a pure existence is available for recognition as pure consciousness, as the truth of the individual in one's own mind, as the truth of I. You can never objectify pure existence. Pure existence is available for recognition, not as pure existence, but as pure consciousness. Pure existence is available for recognition as pure consciousness in one's own mind, as the truth of an individual, as the truth of I. Consciousness and existence are not two different things. Just as truth of the ocean and water are not two different things. Similarly, consciousness and existence of the universe are not two different things. Consciousness is existence. Existence is consciousness. But where do you experience? We experience existence along with the form, name and function. But without the form, name and function, the pure existence cannot be experienced. Why? It is not an object. Then how can we understand? The pure existence is available for recognition as pure consciousness, as the truth of I, the truth of the subject in over. Now you can understand the pure existence is pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is pure existence. One sat is chit, chit is sat. Sat chit is the nature of Atma. Is it clear? So the sat chit Atma is the only truth of the knower. The swarup of the knower. Who is knower? Satchidatma. What is the experience? Knowledge? Satchidatma. What is experienced? Satchidatma. The truth of the knower, known knowledge, is one and the only Atma, which is of the nature of pure consciousness, which alone is in the form of existence of everything. Why? Minus consciousness, existence enjoyed by form, name and function called universe will disappear. Form, name and function will disappear. Therefore, existence is consciousness. This is how Jiva Ishwara Swarupam is established. So here, the students' answer question was, we saw in the previous, in the class, there is difference, definitely there is difference from the standpoint of upadhi. I said physical body is an upadhi, mind is upadhi, sense organs are upadhis, and consciousness is upahitam, upadhi and upahitam. Physical body is a gross upadhi. Mind is subtlest upadhi. Sense organs are upadhis. Physiological functions are upadhis. Every thought is a upadhi. All are upadhis of an individual. And what is upahitam? Upahitam, the truth without which body, mind, sense complex cannot enjoy the status of being body, mind, sense complex. Upahitam, consciousness is upahitam, and body, mind, complex, upadhis are all matter. Similarly, upahitam, Brahma is existence, and upadhi, jagad upadhi. Here, from the standpoint of upadhi, there is difference. The standpoint of upahitam, there is no difference. Essentially, one and the same. So, Ishvara and Jiva and actually are attributed to one and the only truth. Because of its association with the two different form, name and function. The total and the individual. We saw the last class. Let us see the text word now. Don't worry, it will become much clearer next week. Okay? Keep on listening. We have to wait for the clearer understanding. We also saw last class, both words Jivaha and Ishwaraha have two meanings, Vachyartha and Lakshyartha. Vachyartha is literal meaning, Lakshyartha is the implied meaning. And Tvam, the second person singular pronoun, which stands for an individual, has two meanings. And Vachyartha is what? The body, mind, sense complex. The individual, Atma with the body, mind, sense complex, is the Vachyartha of the Tvam. Literal meaning of the word Tvam. Atma alone is Lakshyartha of the Tvam. Similarly, Vachyartha of Ishwara is what? Atma obtaining of existence of the universe with the entire the form, name and function called universe is Vachyartha. The whole universe with the form, name and function is Vachyartha. But Lakshyartha of Tad, the third person singular pronoun, stands for Ishwara. And Vachyartha is the whole cosmos. Atma with the whole cosmos is Vachyartha. Again, there also, Atma's existence is the Lakshyartha of the third person singular pronoun Tat. And if we see from the standpoint of Vachyartha, the form, name and function, there is difference between the literal meaning of the words Jiva, Nishra, Tad and Tvam. There is difference. The Lakshyartha, the implied meaning of the word Jiva Nishwara, there is non-difference. So, Vachyartha Drishtya Bhedaha, Lakshyartha Drishtya Abhedaha. I'm repeating sentence. Vachyartha Drishtya Bhedaha, Lakshyartha Drishtya Abhedaha. From the standpoint of the literal meanings of these two words, Jiva and Ishwara, there is difference. There is difference from the standpoint of Nama Rupa Karma, Upadis. The standpoint of the truth, Lakshyartha of Jiva and Ishwara, there is non-difference. Because the truth of Jiva and Ishwara is one and the same. There's no difference. Okay, we'll see that now. 71st sentence. We saw, evam sarvajnyatvadi visishta Ishwaraha tatpada vachyartaha. So Ishwaraha, who is endowed with the qualifications such as all-knowing, almighty, etc., that Ishwara is the literal meaning of the word tat. Upadi shunyam shuddha chaitanyam tatpada lakshyartaha. Without the qualifications as almighty, all-knowing, etc. Without upadis, we remove all the upadi, the total upadi from the truth. The truth, the existence is pure existence, is pure consciousness. The pure existence, nothing but pure consciousness, is the implied meaning of the third person singular pronoun Tad, indicating Ishwara. We'll see that now, the 71st sentence, evam cha, I'm reading, hope you all read after me. Evam cha, Jiva Ishwarayoho, Jiva Ishwarayoho, Jiveshwarayoho, Chaitanya Rupena, Abhede, Badhaka Abhavaha, Evancha, Jiveshwarayoho, चैतन्य रूपेण अभेदे बाधक अभावः एवं च इन दिस मैनर जीवेश्वरयोः ऑफ जीवानेश्वर चैतन्य रूपेण इन द रूम ऑफ कॉन्शियसनेस अभेदे इन नॉन डिफरेंस इज देयर इवर बाधक अभावः there is no affliction. It means from the standpoint of consciousness, in the, when you see the jiva swarupam as consciousness, ishvara swarupam as consciousness, the truth of the ishvara is pure existence, which is nothing but pure consciousness. The truth of jiva is pure consciousness. Therefore, existence is consciousness. The truth of Jiva Nishra is pure consciousness. Without the pure consciousness, pure knowledge, there is no Ishra. There cannot be Jiva. There's no Jiva, there's no Ishra. Therefore, Jiva Ishvara Yoho Chaitanya Rupena Abhedaha. There is non-difference. Therefore, badhaka abhavaha. There is no affliction of the truth of Jiva Nishra, which happens to be one and the same consciousness. This is the second sentence now. Evamcha. Evamcha. Evam cha in this manner. Cha evam in this manner. Cha and Vedanta Vakyaihi. Vedanta Vakyaihi. Vedanta Vakya means the statements revealing the identity between Jiva and Ishvara. Vedanta Vakyam is a Mahavakyam. Statements, Vedantic statements, by the Vedantic statements, by the Veda Mahavakyam, by the great declarations of Veda, which reveal Jiveshwara identity between Jiva and Ishvara, which reveal the oneness of the Jiva and Ishvara Swarupam. Through these statements, Sadguru Upadeshena Cha. By the teaching of the teacher, Sadguru. Upadeshaha means teaching. Sadguru Upadeshena Vedanta Vakyaihi Cha. The teacher himself or herself cannot teach. What they teach is the teaching which they have already understood from their teacher. And the teaching is Vedanta Shastram. And the teaching, therefore, Sadguru Upadeshena, teacher only communicates the fact the teacher has received from his teacher or her teacher. The teaching is from the Vedanta only. The teaching is from the Vedanta. The fact is revealed in the Vedantic statements. Revealed by the Vedantic statements. The Vedanta Vakyaihi, through the Vedantic declarations, Vedantic statements revealing the oneness of the truth of Jiva Nishvara. And by the teaching of the unfoldment of those words, the unfoldment of the teacher, the teaching of the teacher, Guru Upadeshena, Abhede Badaka Abhavaha. Abhede, when you understand the oneness of the truth, Abhede, Badaka Abhavaha means there is no doubt about the truth of Jiva and Ishvara being one and the same. So evam cha means in this manner, the Tattvabodha teacher, the author of Tattvabodha comes here and he mentions here, Chaitanya Rupena. What Chaitanyam is what now? Actually, unafflicted, undistorted, pure consciousness. Jiveshrayoho abhede. I mean, non-difference between Jiva and Ishvara. That they are non-different, they are one and the same. There is no difference. Badaka Abhavaha means the contradiction is not there. There's no contradiction. Abhavaha means absence. Badaka means here contradiction. Affliction also, it means affliction also. In this context, there is no contradiction. When you look at Jiva and Ishvara from the standpoint of the form, name and function, definitely there is a difference. So there's nothing wrong. There's no, if a wise person says, I am Aham Brahma Asmi, I am Ishwaraha, I am Soham, I am the Lord, wise person says, that statement actually does not reveal any contradiction. So when the non-difference between Jiva and Ishvara is understood from the standpoint of the truth, then there is no contradiction. Emcha Jiveshrayoho Chaitanya Rupena Abhede Badaka Abhavaha. Badaka Abhava means there is no more contradiction in the statement. Evam cha Vedanta Vakyaihi Sadguru Upadeshena cha Sarveshu Apibhuteshu Sarveshu Apibhuteshu Yesham Brahma Buddhihi Utpanna Te Jivan Muktaha Bhavanti. Evam cha Vedanta Vakyaihi. In this manner, through the analysis of Vedantic statements revealing the oneness of the truth of Jiva and Ishvara, Hadguru Upadeshena cha, by the teaching of Hadguru, Sarveshu Api Bhuteshu, in all the beings, Yesham Brahma Buddhihi Utpanna, those people who have the vision of Brahma, Yesham Brahma Buddhihi Utpanna, I mean those people who are able to see all the beings as Brahma, Yesham Brahma Buddhihi Utpanna means people who have the vision of oneness of the truth of all the beings. Please listen to me carefully. Those who have the vision of oneness of the truth of all the beings, those who are able to see all the beings as Brahma essentially, and they are said to be Jivan Muktaha, they are said to be people who are liberated while living. Jivan Muktaha Uktaha. They are said to be Jivan Muktaha. They are known as Jivan Muktaha. They are known as wise. They are known as liberated people, liberated while living. People who are liberated while living, freed while living. Jivan Muktaha. Jivan, Gachan, Patan, Likan. At the Jivan. Jivan, while living, they are free. Who are the people who are able to see all the beings as Brahma? Essentially, all the beings are Brahma. Even though in appearance they are many, they are plural, they are different, diversity. They do not deny their perception of diversity, duality, plurality. But still, in spite of their perception of duality, divisions, and multiplicity and diversity, still they can appreciate the unity of the truth. They can appreciate, they can see the fact of all the beings are essentially Brahma. And Brahman alone is in the form of all beings. And such people, they are able to see that everything as Brahma. So, Yesham Brahma Buddhihi Sarveshu Bhuteshu. Every bhut, in every being, they are able to appreciate Brahman as the truth. How cognitively they can see. Means in every being, appreciate Brahman. Means they see every being as Brahma. They see Brahman in him of everything. So, Yesham Brahma Buddhihi Sarveshu Bhuteshu. And they alone are said to be free while living. How is it possible for them? Because they have the clear vision of oneness of the truth through Sadguru Upadesha and through the unfoldment of the Vedantic statements. So, Vedanta Vakyaihi Sadguru Upadeshena cha. They have understood the oneness of the truth. By having understood the oneness of the truth, now they can appreciate the fact that what all the T-seer is only Brahma. All beings are Brahma. Brahman is in of all the beings. And such people are free while living. Is it clear? Any doubt here? Any doubt in this lesson?
What does Utpanna mean, Swamiji?
Pardon?
Utpanna.
Utpanna is a participle of Utpadyate. Utpanna originated, happened. See, Utpadyate comes into existence. Atmanepadam, present tense of Utpadyate. Utpattihi, production. Utpadyate comes into existence. Utpanna happened, originated. See, Brahma Buddhihi Utpanna. Brahma Buddhihi means, we understand, the vision of Buddhi means vision. Vision of Brahma. How was the vision of Brahma? Vision of Brahma means they see everything as Brahma. All the beings, they can see every being as Brahma. All the beings as Brahma. They see Brahman as the only truth of all the beings. Seeing all the beings as Brahma essentially, and seeing Brahman in of everything, is what Brahma Buddhihi, vision of oneness of the truth of all the beings. Vision of oneness of the truth of all the beings is what? Vision of Brahma. And those who have that Brahma Buddhihi, those who are endowed with the Brahma Buddhihi, vision of Brahma, Yesham Brahma Buddhihi, those who have the vision of Brahma. How is the vision of Brahma? What is Brahma? Vision of Brahma means what? Seeing everything as the truth essentially, is seeing everything as Brahma. Seeing all the beings as Brahma. Seeing Brahman in him of all the beings is having the vision of Brahma. And which implies seeing the oneness of the truth of Jivanishwara. How do they get that vision? Sadguru Upadeshena Vedanta Vakyehi. Through the teaching of Sadguru, when the Vedantic statements are unfolded, they understand the oneness of the truth through the unfoldment of the Mahavakyams. And this, they have this vision, clear understanding. See, nothing is physically done here. Physically, nothing is removed. Physically, nothing is brought together. It's all purely cognitive. Because exactly how you appreciate, we say wave is ocean. You are not undoing the wave form, not undoing the ocean form. You are not physically doing anything. You cannot change the wave ocean difference also. You do experience the wave ocean difference. In spite of your experiencing the wave ocean difference, in spite of seeing everything as it is, cognitively appreciate the fact of oneness of the truth of the whole ocean being water. Similarly here, this Mahavakya unfoldment should bless you with understanding that all that is there is essentially Atma, the reality implied by the term Atma. And already you know the truth. How do you arrive at the reality? Only by analyzing the individual. Individual as what? Analysis of one's own self. Enquiry into the nature of one's own self, self-analysis. Helps you arrive at the truth, being pure consciousness. And then we analyze the universe. How do you arrive at it? You see the whole universe as manifestation of Ishvara. And who is Ishvara? And Ishvara is the truth. The truth means, in what form does the truth obtain? In our existence. So the existence of the universe is existence of Ishvara. If you're experiencing the universe, means you are experiencing Ishvara. And in what form does Ishvara obtain? The formless reality whom exists, pure existence. But you cannot experience existence without the form, name and function. So cognitively, if you remove the form, name and function, and you can see, you have to say pure existence is Ishvara Swarupam. Just tatpada lakshyartha is pure existence. Tvampada lakshyartha is pure consciousness, and you cannot objectify pure existence, and the pure existence is not an object. Pure existence has to be understood as pure consciousness, as the Swarupma of the I, the knower. They're one and the same. The second truth is not there. The second reality other than consciousness. Consciousness is in the form of existence of everything. We'll analyze further next class. We'll see how consciousness is in the form of existence. We need to further analyze. We will see that next class. That's what's unfoldment. I'm only reading out sentences today. How consciousness is existence. We have to understand. Then you can understand existence is the Swarupam of Ishvara, the Lord. Lord is the existence of the whole cosmos. We analyze that next class. And then, is it clear now? No. Tatpada lakshyartha sat. Tvampada lakshyartha chit. And they are one and the same. We will see how it is next class. Okay. I'll stop here. I'll give you 15 minutes break. We'll meet for next class. ओम शांति 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 ही।